The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Hey, I want to continue to remind you about an amazing event. I want you to join me in Burbank, California, along with some of the top names in the field of sexuality this September 11th to the 13th at Catalyst Con West. Catalyst Con West is a three-day conference that was created to inspire exceptional conversations about sexuality, with more than 70 speakers presenting over 40 sessions on topics ranging from sex education and erotic writing to sex-positive parenting and slut-shaming. Catalyst Con West is going to be at the Los Angeles Marriott Burbank Hotel. For more information, you can visit catalystcon.com. Listeners, you can use the code Tristan for $10 off your registration price. And remember that Thursday and Friday, which are the two pre-con days of this conference, I'm going to be teaching my sex educator bootcamp levels 1 and 2. This is professional training for budding and working sex educators. It's one of my favorite things in the world. It's jam-packed with great information, and I hope I see some of you there. I'm really excited about today's guest and today's topic because I think it's sure to, well, shake things up a little. Let me tell you about her, and then we'll get right into it. Jane Ward is Associate Professor of Gender and Sexuality Studies at the University of California, Riverside, where she teaches courses in feminist, queer, and heterosexuality studies. She has published on a broad range of topics, including feminist pornography, queer parenting, gay pride festivals, gay marriage campaigns, transgender relationships, the social construction of heterosexuality, the failure of diversity programs, and the evolution of HIV/AIDS organizations. Her first book, Respectably Queer: Diversity Culture in LGBT Activist Organizations, was named by the Progressive magazine as a best book of 2008. And her newest book, which we're going to talk about today, is published by NYU Press, and it's titled Not Gay: Sex Between Straight White Men. Professor Ward is founder of the feminist blog FeministPigs.com and co-founder, along with CJ Pasco and Tay Meadow, of SocialInquiry2Es.com. She co-founded the queer burlesque troupe The Miracle Whips in 2004 and founded the parenting collective LA Gender Queer Parenting in 2009, both based in Los Angeles. She is also a baker, an urban gardener, and a parent to one human child, 4 cats, and 8 chickens. And I'm so thrilled to be able to do this interview in person because she's my neighbor, people. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Jane.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I read your new book.
Yes.
Which I want to repeat is called Not Gay.
Not Gay.
Sex Between Straight White Men. And I loved this book. Okay, so it's really incredible on a number of levels, and we're going to get to talk about those in a moment. But what I want everyone to know is that this is gender and sexuality theory written for a popular audience. So it manages to be theoretically rigorous, incredibly thorough, and yet wildly accessible and entertaining. So for all of you interested in gender, sex, sexuality, the hetero, homo, binary, queer politics, and the absolutely overlooked sexual complexity of straight men, you all need to read this book. Okay, Jane, let's begin with the premise that heterosexual white men are having sex with other heterosexual white men, and they are, slash, the sex is not gay.
That's right.
Explain the thesis.
Yes. So I use the term gay to refer to people who actually identify as gay and to people who are in some way embedded in gay subculture. The men that I'm writing about are straight identified men who have absolutely no interest whatsoever in being identified as bi or gay, or and they have absolutely no interest whatsoever in gay or queer subculture. These are men who understand themselves to be absolutely average heterosexual men.
So this is a good place to talk about language, because you use language in a very specific way in the book, and we may refer to that. So let's talk about that.
Sure. I use the term homosexual because I'm talking about sex practices and I'm not talking about a homosexual identity. So I'm interested in the ways that straight men come into intimate sexual contact with one another. And often they don't even perceive it to be sexual because in their minds, to imagine it as sexual would be to invoke gayness. And for them, it's many other kinds of things other than gay, which we can talk about. But so I use the term homosexual to describe the sex, and I use the term gay to talk about gay men, gay subculture.
Yeah. So homosexual, just for folks, if you want to know, is a really outdated sort of medicalized term. No one who is on the queer, gay, lesbian spectrum wants to be called a homosexual.
Right. And I wouldn't call these men homosexuals. No, I'm just calling their sexual contact homosexual. But in a way, even that is a bit of a misnomer, because really what I'm talking about is straight identified men having penis to hand contact, or mouth to anus contact, or penis to mouth contact.
Fingers to anus. There's a lot of contact
happening. Because the thing is that if you ask straight men, have you ever engaged in homosexual sex? They may well say no when they have had their finger in another man's butt. And that's what this book is about. It's about how straight men have other stories they tell, or other ways that they would explain the kind of intimate contact that they have with each other's bodies.
Okay, so I'm going to quote from the book, and this is going to be one of many things, because, you know, in trying to summarize Jane's ideas, I just basically decided not to, and that I would just take her words because they're kind of the best way of putting it. So I'm going to start with a quote. The dominant mode of thinking within the disciplines of psychology and sexology, and arguably within the broader culture, is that sexual content of male heterosexuality is fundamentally different from that of male homosexuality. When heterosexual men do engage in homosexual sex, and if they are not immediately presumed to be in the closet, these practices are treated as momentary aberrations, and a good deal of work goes into explaining why they occurred and why they are misrepresentative of or discordant with the true sexual orientation of participants. So this is one of the crux of the book, and it's one of the really great ideas, which is that it exposes this kind of incredible double standard in research and theory and sociology, where we've overlooked the sexual fluidity of heterosexual white men. And in fact, beyond overlooking it, it's often been miscategorized, exceptionalized, and explained in all these ways to describe why these certain kinds of contact are, as the book is called, not gay.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, to back up and just say a little bit about why I wrote this book has very little to do with my life. I'm a dyke and, you know, I don't have sex with straight men, but I was compelled to write it because I'm always fascinated by the stories that we tell about sexuality, and particularly the way that some of those stories become very rigid, very fixed, and they become almost like rhetorical habits. And one of those rhetorical habits that we have is this story about how women have more fluid sexuality than men. And to the extent that we acknowledge that straight men engage in homosexual sex, most of our attention has been given to men of color on the down low, or this epidemiological category of MSM, men who have sex with men. But if you actually look at just, you know, all of the rituals and developmental processes that are part of making straight men, and I'm looking at white men in particular, precisely because men of color have been really the object of scrutiny as we've thought about, as the media has paid attention to male sexual fluidity. But if you actually look at straight white men's lives, you see a remarkable amount of homosexual contact. We see this in adolescence, which, you know, with side-by-side masturbation or the circle jerk, that's been written off by psychologists as this sort of developmental stage that's about teaching young boys how to become heterosexual or how to become sexual. And then we see into college a remarkable amount of homosexual contact that occurs in fraternity hazing, on sports teams. We see a remarkable amount of homosexual contact that takes place in the military, in prisons. Remarkably, in any environment in which men get together, there are rituals and initiation ceremonies that involve a tremendous amount of intimate bodily contact. And so the argument that I'm making is we have really erased this tremendous amount of sex that straight men are having with each other, that straight white men are having with each other. And we have called it something else. We've called it hazing. We've called it initiation. We've called it, you know, boys being boys. We've called it teenagehood. And if we compile all of that evidence and look at it all together, we have to confront the fact that straight men are constantly touching each other's anuses, you know? It's like they can't get enough. And one of the common arguments is, well, straight men do this in environments in which women are not present. So a lot of the research looking at this kind of sexual activity has focused on total institutions or, you know, prisons in the military.
So the idea that men's sexuality is, first of all, so powerful that they need to satisfy it in some way.
Right.
There are no women because they're on a boat or they're in prison or wherever they are. And so they have to meet these sexual needs. And so they meet them with other men.
Right. Right.
But it's just circumstantial.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is often called precisely that, circumstantial homosexuality or deprivational homosexuality. But the thing is that very, very similar kinds of sex, of sexual contact, similar to what happens in the military and in prison, also happen in fraternities, college fraternities. And college fraternities are just not environments where women are unavailable for sex, you know, at least no university I've ever known.
Right.
So we have to then take seriously what it is about men coming together, about straight men coming together, whether or not women are available in their lives, that is facilitating this kind of contact, and recognize that this is kind of it's a ubiquitous part of straight men's lives.
Yeah. You go on and you really do make the case that it's an integral part of heterosexuality.
Yes.
That men have sexual contact with other men.
Yes.
Which is very provocative. And yet you lay out a case so precisely that I ended up totally swallowing it. That's like probably a horrible pun in this case. Because it just made so much sense.
Yes. Okay,
but we need to take a break.
Oh, okay.
I can't believe we're there already, but we are. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, more on white men who have sex with other white men who are not gay with Professor Jane Ward. So stay with us.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit facebook.com/Voice America.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning Expert Guide Sex Education Series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Inside Out is the voice of the inner revolution that is bringing positive change to our planet. Discover the amazing transformations already taking place from faraway lands to right here under our noses. Meet guests who are shaking things up for the better and gain insights and courage to help you become all that you can be. Co-hosted by Beth Green and James Maynard, Inside Out, The Inner Revolution airs live every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today with Jane Ward, author of the new book, Not Gay, Sex Between Straight White Men. And I want to pick up on something that we were talking about before the break, which is that homosexuality is the central component of heterosexuality for straight white men. And part of it is, I think we need to talk about the reasons that straight white men have sex with other men.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we need to talk about the heterosexual reasons.
Because they're not gay. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. So a common thread across the different sites and examples that I look at in the book, and I offer a historical analysis, you know, starting in the early 20th century, moving through to the present. So a common thread in those examples of sexual contact between straight-identified white men is that that straight men often will be able to have homosexual contact with one another in situations that they have staged, situations that they've manufactured, such that they can demonstrate in the course of that contact their repulsion, their disinterest, their dominance over another man, and kind of stand up unbroken. You know, they've endured the homosexual penetration and they've demonstrated that despite that, they're still heterosexual. So right. This is, you know, the Navy, for instance, one of the sites that I look at is the Navy's crossing the line ceremony. Mm-hmm. And this is a ceremony in which So, for instance, one of the sites that I look at is the United States Navy and a ritual that sailors have been participating in for many years, which is called the Crossing the Line ceremony. And in this ceremony, new sailors who are called WOGs, these are, you know, green sailors, when they're aboard ship and the ship crosses the equator for the first time, they are subjected to participate in this ritual called crossing the line. And it involves a lot of garbage, sewage, rotten food, sometimes grease being shoved in the anus and then eaten out by other new sailors. There's nipple play, there's eating things out of other people's belly buttons, but a lot of it is focused on putting things inside the anus and retrieving them with the mouth. So this ritual is not understood by these men to be sexual, even though, of course, if two gay men were on a date and they ate food out of each other's butts, they would likely feel that they had engaged in a sex act. But these are straight men who understand this to be part of demonstrating their allegiance to the group, showing their physical resilience and their anal resilience in particular, that they can have this they can be defiled in this way. They can be subjected to this act that has such queer associations when they're, you know, on land, and yet retain their masculinity. You know, they can endure that and then come through it still totally heterosexual. And often part of that is, you know, demonstrating disgust and so forth during the act itself.
But it's also kind of a bonding exercise,
yes,
as well. It's a way that men bond and become part of the team for real.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, many people have reacted to those kinds of examples and said, well, this is not really about sex. This is basically sexual assault. This is, you know, older sailors in the case of the Navy forcing younger sailors or new sailors to participate in a sexual act that they would never otherwise choose to participate in. But the thing is that this practice of putting things in each other's butts and eating them out also happens in very consensual contexts, like in fraternities, and like in another example that I explore in the book, which comes from the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan. In 2008, a government watchdog group called the Project on Government Oversight released an investigative report and a set of photos of parties that were happening outside of the U.S. Embassy or in the camp nearby the U.S. Embassy in Kabul, where the security guards, who were white American dudes, very dudely.
And they're military contractors. But I think we come to understand these folks as part of the sort of military-industrial complex.
Yeah, I mean, they're former military personnel, but now they're basically just privately contracted security guards. And so they're guarding the embassy during the day, and then after they're done guarding the embassy, they go back to their camp, and it's their off hours, and they can do whatever they want. And what do?
They eat potato chips out of their ass.
They eat potato chips out of each other's asses. That's right. And they drink vodka out of each other's asses. And they pinch each other's nipples. And
they take pictures of all
this. And they're naked and they urinate on each other. And they do this in plastic swimming pools with plastic Hawaiian leis around their necks. And they have those red beer cups that anyone has seen if they've ever been to a university party, you know, a party at a college. And we know all of this because all the photos were released of these parties, some of which are reproduced in my book. And so this is an example of an environment in which, these are not men who are enacting an initiation of any kind. This is not a hazing ritual. This is like dudes partying with each other at the end of a long day. And we see similar kinds of behaviors happening in fraternities, like sort of what we think of as girls gone wild. Well, this is really boys gone wild. This is young men, mostly young men. There's certainly examples of older men, but mostly young men, playing with each other's bodies out of boredom, out of desire. You know, it could be a complex jumble of motivations.
I mean, peer pressure.
Sure.
Right. Again,
yeah.
Belonging to the tribe kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
And so you have so many of these examples. There's also examples of bikers making out. I mean, there's examples of lots of frat parties where a lot of sex happens, under the guise of hazing or initiation, or I guess, just ritual, tradition.
Right.
I mean, some of this stuff is happening out of pure tradition, right? Because it just keeps happening and being handed down over and over and over again.
Right. So the very men who ostensibly hate it, you know, reproduce it just 2 years later.
Right. And that is one of the interesting things about saying this is not about sex, or this is not sexual, because I think that's just another convenient way to sort of write it off, right?
Right. I mean, there's just no way, if you think about how we relate to women's sexuality, if young women in sororities were masturbating together, were eating food out of each other's anuses or vaginas, there's no way that we would say that has, you know, that has no sexual meaning. Instead, we can imagine that for women, that might be a complex of, again, peer pressure, but also desire, also experimentation. We recognize with young women that a lot of things can be happening at once in how women are expressing their sexuality. But we've had the story about men for so long that their sexuality is fundamentally rigid and unchanging. And we can't imagine then that hazing is anything more than hazing.
Yeah, right. And so one of the things you argue in the book is that the history of male sexual fluidity is in fact not new, but you argue that what is new is this idea that one can be certain if one is gay or one is straight.
Right.
Let's talk about that piece of the puzzle here.
Sure. Yeah, so in recent years, the idea that we are born with a sexual orientation intact, with a hardwired biological congenital sexual orientation, has become very, very popular. Now more than half of Americans believe that to be true. And we think about that as having implications just for gay and lesbian people, but in fact, it also has implications for straight identified people who can now imagine their heterosexuality to be innate, fixed, out of their control. And so somewhat paradoxically, what this has meant is that straight people have a lot more freedom to engage in different kinds of sexual behaviors, to sort of explore, experiment, engage in same-sex sexuality with the reassurance that they were born straight. You know, if you're born straight, then you don't have to be too worried about your sexual behaviors because you have that reassurance that fundamentally your sexual orientation is outside of your control. So so I do argue in the book that we see increasing amounts of sexual fluidity, of heteroflexible identification, as we are more inclined to believe that sexual orientation is hardwired.
And that's one way that heterosexuals get away with having all different kinds of sex.
It's
because it comes back to this central idea that you know you're gay, people know they're gay, and they were born gay, and so it sort of doesn't matter what kinds of sex they are or aren't having.
Right.
They're gay.
Exactly. And that the same is true for straight men and women as well.
Okay. I think we need to take another break, so we're going to do that. I have so many more questions.
Okay.
So more with Jane Ward when we come back.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Tune in each week for Monica Phillips and Powerful Conversations. This is a thought-provoking show for business people, leaders, and entrepreneurs. We'll feature today's thought leaders and industry trendsetters from across several locations and industries, give yourself permission to be inspired and live a fulfilling life. Be sure to listen to Powerful Conversations live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking today with Jane Ward about her fabulous new book, Not Gay, Sex Between Straight White Men. Hey, I want to remind you that you can follow this show and the amazing live tweeting of Raymond at Sex Out Loud Radio on Twitter. And you can follow me on Twitter at Tristan Taramino. And also, if you listen to this on iTunes, even if you don't listen to it on iTunes, if you could review us on iTunes, we would really, really appreciate it. It really helps people find the show and it matters. So even just saying a few nice words on iTunes, that could be your good deed for today. Okay, I want to fast forward to arguably the hottest part of the book, or maybe I'm revealing too much about myself, which is the Craigslist ads.
Yes.
Okay. I wanted to get a really hot guy in here, like Danny Wilde would be my first choice, to do a dramatic reading of them.
Oh my God, that would be the best.
Would that be amazing?
Yes.
But this happened on short notice, and so I'm going to have to do the dramatic
reading. You're the really
reading.
Hot guy.
Yeah, I'm just going to have to do the dramatic reading. So okay. One of the things that you look at are these casual encounters ads on Craigslist, and they're amazing for so many reasons, but let me just read two of them.
Yes.
Okay. Straight dude, drunk and horny. Any straight bud want a jack? Here's the deal. Went out drinking and clubbing, thought I'd hook up with a chick, but didn't pan out. I'm buzzed, horny, checking out porn. Is there any other straight dude out there who would be into jacking while watching porn? I'd rather hook up with a chick, but none of the Craigslist chicks ever work out. Okay, that's one. Another one is straight for straight dudes, and it's STR number 8. Mm-hmm. I'm straight, looking to mess around with another straight dude from time to time. Discreet and looking for more than one-time hookups. So if you respond, have the balls to follow through with this ad and meet up. Straight drunk dude looking to get off. Hi there, looking to lay back, have some beers, watch some straight porn this evening. I'm 5'10", brown hair, brown eyes, white dude. Okay. These go on and on and on and on and on.
You didn't even read my favorite one, which is the one that starts with, hey, fucks.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to look for that now. I'm totally going to look for that. Where is that one?
I think that's a little later in the chapter.
Okay, it's a little later in the
chapter. It's got the guy in the tidy whities. There's a photo.
Oh, yes, the guy. Okay, not the guy.
Has a hard on.
Yes, okay. Oh, that's good. Okay, I'm going to let you read it.
Okay, this one reads, straight fuck a guy in his briefs, masculine man-to-man fuck, HIV negative only. That's the title. Here's the text. Hey, fucks. I need to fucking lay the pipe in some tight manhole today. I'm HIV negative, fuck with rubbers only. I want to have a hot packing guy and some tidy whities bent over on all fours taking my dick like a champ. No femmes or tweaking P&P dudes. That means party and play. I hate that shit. Only 420 and a hot pack and butt. Hit me up with your pics and your contact info. I don't know. I have a soft spot in my heart for that one.
Okay. What's so remarkable about these Craigslist ads is there seem to be this repetition of certain kinds of themes over and over and over again.
Right.
And that primarily straight men looking to hook up with a straight men are white, are all white. Looking for other white guys?
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? So there were straight identified men of color looking for other men of color. Certainly there are those men on Craigslist, but they were more inclined to use the term down low. Men or to place ads in a different category of Craigslist, which is men seeking men.
Okay.
Casual Encounters had just a tremendous amount of these white, straight white dudes, you know, self-identified straight white dudes seeking other straight white dudes. And I think that's in part because casual encounters is a less identitarian space. It's more about a particular kind of sexual fetish than it is about I'm a man looking for a man. So it's kind of structured in a different way. And, you know, you're absolutely right. There's a lot of reference to beer and weed. To heterosexual porn. A lot of these men want to watch straight porn with another man. Sometimes they will want to share, some of them mentioned talking about kind of rape fantasies or a narrative that they would share about what they were going to do to women. One of the ads that I looked at, they wanted to use a blow up doll. And so sometimes people will say, well, you really don't know who placed these ads. These could be gay men placing these ads, and absolutely, this is the internet, so they could be anyone. Maybe they're not even men, but what we do know is that Craigslist, that casual encounters on Craigslist is this virtual environment in which people, whoever they are exchanging these codes for what it means to be a straight dude looking for sex with another straight dude, and they all seem to know precisely how to frame homosexual sex as heterosexual, how to authenticate their heterosexuality by, you know, reference to, again, the straight porn, this particular kind of language that's used. And a lot of them also are homophobic. They'll talk about how they hate fags. So yeah, it's possible that there are gay men who have a fetish for straight men. And so they want to watch straight porn with another dude, and they want to talk about how they hate fags. I don't know any gay men like that, but anything's possible, of course, with sexuality.
But then there's too many of these, and it doesn't explain, it can't explain all of them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, I think we have to also look at our desire to think that this has to be gay men. Why does it have to be gay men? Why wouldn't we just take these at face value? These are men saying that they're straight, saying that they hate gay men, saying that they want to jack off with another dude, or they want to give another dude a blowjob. And since we know already that that happens from, you know, the many, many other examples I provide in the book, I think it's useful to read these ads the way they wish to be read.
Okay, another interesting piece that this brings up is the notion that some straight guys want to have sex with other straight guys because they want to have something impersonal, they want to have something quick, they want to have something anonymous, they just want to get off.
Right.
You know, and they can't find women to do that with.
Right.
Which, as you can imagine, women are not, you know, lining up to answer strange men's
right.
Craigslist ads.
Exactly.
So so there's an argument that it's really just sex and they're just getting off and it's sort of just about the orgasm and they would do it with whoever. But there also seems to be this other component that people want to deny about straight men having sex with other men, but that seems also present, which is that sometimes it is about love and bonding and intimacy.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's such a good point. I don't actually look in this book very closely at all at examples of love-based sexual relationships between straight men. And some readers of early portions of this book have said, you know, this reminds me of a relationship that I had in summer camp. You know, straight men talking, a relationship I had in summer camp when I was 15 with this other boy. And, you know, it was actually very sweet and loving. And it's true that there is a quality of sweetness and love that certainly can run through some of these encounters that I do not capture in this book.
But you imply, I mean, I think when you go through the stuff with straight guys, GUISE.com, and when you go through that stuff, that there are theories out there about
certainly
straight men have sex with men to, you know, relive a connection with their father,
right,
to bond with other men when they aren't given an opportunity to in our society. So it's not just about the quote unquote sex.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's possible. I'm reluctant to speculate about that because, you know, I'm just committed to allowing people to have sex that is not romantic. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's possible that there's a strong impulse to touch other bodies that doesn't have anything to do with love or bondedness. And absolutely it can, but it doesn't always. But I would say, and I do say in the book that, you know, I am a bit of a Freudian in the sense that I believe that, of course, we were all born with the capacity to experience homosexual and heterosexual desire, which Freud calls polymorphous perversity, or the capacity to be aroused by a number of stimuli, you know. But we're all raised in a way that compels us to identify as straight. We're all raised in the context of heteronormativity. So there's tremendous pressure for us to direct all of those impulses towards heterosexuality and to suppress anything else. And so I suggest in the book that for people who are straight identified, we have to ask the question, what happened to all of those repressed desires, all of those desires that fall outside of normative heterosexuality that were once there as a baby, you know, as an infant or a young child, and that were punished out of people. And so I think one way that those repressed desires manifest is through, you know, these different kinds of hetero fetishes, different fetishes that straight people have. And sometimes that looks like, you know, young women making out with each other for the pleasure of male onlookers. You know, it looks like it's just about
performance.
Like it's just, you know, girl on girl action in the service of the heterosexual gaze, the male gaze. But that certainly could be one outlet, one safe space where some of that repressed desire gets to manifest itself. And I think similarly with men, hazing is this really useful ritual because it so frequently involves homosexual contact, but it's homosexual contact that is understood to be forced, that, you know, you're forgiven for doing it because the idea is you had to do it. Otherwise, you wouldn't get into that fraternity. So you absolutely had to. And so straight men are given a free pass to put their finger in each other's butts or to touch another guy's cock because everyone agrees that this was a forced form of contact. But yet again, that's an opportunity for straight men to have an outlet for some of those desires that they haven't been allowed to express.
Right. Okay, we're going to take another break. That reminds me of a great quote in the book, which was, gay men are men who have sex with men without an alibi. I just called that up. Okay, so we've got plenty more. Don't go anywhere. More with Jane Ward when we come back.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Up Close with Chris Tinney is now on Voice America Variety. Every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, Chris brings you the thought leaders, activists, and socially responsible entrepreneurs taking action for the environment, doing business in a new way, and helping the underprivileged. Call in or listen in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, and learn how the small decisions you make today have a big impact on our small planet in the future. Tune in to Up Close with Chris Tinney on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. I'm talking with Dr. Jane Ward, who's the author of the new book, Not Gay, Sex Between Straight White Men. Now, Jane, as the book progresses and comes to a conclusion, you managed to make a pretty good case in the end about why all of this matters, why delving into this world of straight men who have sex with other straight men matters, and how it has broad implications for everyone, whether they're straight or gay identified. So tease that out for me.
So this is a book about heterosexuality, and I think it will certainly be of interest to straight readers. I hope that it will. But in the final chapter, I'm trying to think through what all of this discourse around the sexual fluidity of straight people means for queers like me, because at the end of the day, I'm very invested in how the stories we tell about sexuality are going to land for queer people, what the implications will be. And so, you know, what I have found is that I'm surrounded by a lot of very liberal, straight allies, people who understand themselves to be allies to the queer community. And often the way that alliance, that allyship takes form is by, you know, describing gay and lesbian people as utterly normal, just like us, so beautiful, in these very romantic terms. And, you know, my partner is genderqueer, and we both think of ourselves as queer, but often we'll find that straight people will call us ladies, beautiful ladies. They really want to romanticize our relationship. And we're always really confused by this. And then I just really got it with that Macklemore song, Same Love, like, wow, straight people really want to think we're just like them. And I gather that there are a lot of gay people who are invested in that message too. I am not, and no queer identified person that I know is. And so what I've observed with this, you know, in thinking about that trend and then looking at the narratives that straight men use to heterosexualize their homosexual encounters, is that very commonly straight men will understand what the kind of sexual contact that they're having as totally meaningless. It's casual, it's meaningless.
Circumstantial.
It's circumstantial. It doesn't have any identitarian consequences. It has nothing to do with love or romance.
I was made to do it.
I was
forced to. I had no other choice.
Right. And they have another story about what gay sex looks like. That gay sex, that, you know, truly gay sex is not casual, is love-based, is that it sort of flows logically from this hardwired gay orientation or gay constitution, and that gay people are people who are romantically, spiritually, psychically drawn to people of the same sex. And so as I started to think about this, I was like, wait a second, you know, This line of thinking is dangerous, because what it's doing is setting up straight people as the people who have the raunchy, subversive, casual queer sex, and queers somehow all of a sudden are these people who only have sex, you know, in bedrooms in suburbia.
True to their identities.
True to their identities, exactly. And, you know, I came out as a queer person into a queer community with a lot of casual, raunchy, non-identitarian sex, you know, people having sexual contact that was maybe, you know, with people of all genders, maybe wasn't a perfect or seamless match with their sexual orientation, people who were having a lot of non-monogamous sex, certainly nothing that we would consider to be normal, just like straight people's sex. And so this I close the book by trying to get us to think about how the story that we're telling about the normalization of gay people, this assimilationist trend towards thinking about gay people as just like straight people, how that narrative is shaping the way that we think about straight people's sexuality, and how the way we think about straight people's sexuality has implications for queers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fascinating piece of this is also, I mean, there's a way in which all these heterosexuals can run around and have sex that's not heterosexual. And heterosexuality is so strong.
Right.
It's so strong that it can withstand all these encounters that are supposedly not heterosexual.
Exactly.
But then by the same token, I feel like it strengthens this whole theory that we can fix everyone's identity.
Yes.
But then the question becomes, and I think it's a question maybe listeners are asking themselves as they listen to all this, and that is, well, if these guys went through these rituals or they hooked up on Craigslist, they went through an initiation, but they actually liked it, or they went on Craigslist and hooked up with another straight guy, aren't they just bisexual? So where does the bisexual fit into all of this?
Right. Well, you know, I think of bisexuality, as I've been educated by my bi friends, as a queer identification. And so, yes, technically, these men are bisexual in their sex practice, or their sex practice is bisexual, but none of these men identify as bisexual. And so I think it would be, I mean, I understand why people are worried about the erasure of bisexuality. That happens in a lot of places. But these simply are not men who have any interest in queer culture. And I think of bisexuality as part of queer subculture. These are men who want to be understood as heterosexual.
And so it's about self-identification.
Yeah, and it's also that most bi people I know understand themselves as queer. They're invested in being part of queer subculture. They understand their sexuality to be subversive in some way. And these are men who are most at home in heterosexual subculture, who imagine them, who, you know, their greatest longing is to be perceived as sexually normal. And so when they make sexual contact with each other, it is to shore up their heterosexuality. It's not to an expression of their queerness.
Or to blur the lines.
Right, right.
Oh my gosh, there's just so much in this book, people. We barely scratched the surface. So you've all just got to go out and get it. I could literally talk to her for another hour about this, but we're out of time.
Oh.
Thank you so much for being on the show, Jane.
Thank you for having me.
Jane Ward is the author of Not Gay, Sex Between Straight White Men, published by NYU Press. You can read her blog at feministpigs.com. You can find me on Twitter and on my website at puckerup.com. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible: executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set. I'm sure you have a lot to say about this episode, Cooper, and Matt, my engineer. If you missed any part of the show or want to hear it again, you can listen on demand or download the MP3 by going to voiceamerica.com and searching for Sex Out Loud. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of the show. Until then, you can catch us on Facebook, on Twitter, at Sex Out Loud Radio. And remember, talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.